Apparently it's English slang also for whore.
Ah, so is Molly. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with our friend Shay, who recently lost her brother. We discuss grieving and what it's like to have a religious family during times of grief.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I am here.
And Nick Glover.
I too am here.
Hooray.
And today we are joined by our dear friend Shay, who is here to talk about grief and how it is to grieve in a family of very religious people. Hello, Shay.
Hey, I'm here.
She's here.
God, this sounds like a super cheery topic.
It's so super excited. Cheerful. A lot of happy things happened to Shay, and that's why we're here to talk
about
it.
Yeah, super 2016 good. Is kind of a poop year.
So, we've done an episode on grief, but that was an episode with Eric Knight talking about his father who died, who at that point had been pretty old, and they kind of knew it was coming and things. You had a different experience.
Yes, my brother passed away in April. Wow,
he was super
young.
That
was weird that was something I thought about, because it so far has been a thing that I've constantly thought about.
Yeah.
So he's 34. And he overdosed on heroin, and that sucks. Please get help. There is the PSA in there if you need it. There are people, we want to help you. That sucks. I've said that like 4 times
now. No, it's fine. It sucks. It really does.
It really just sucks. It's like your whole reality is completely rewritten. This person who has existed as a part of my life for all of my life is not here anymore.
There's like everything's before and then after now.
Yeah, it's very before and after. And then there's like this whole like things will happen. And it's like, oh, Spencer's here. And I'm like, well, no.
Yeah.
His memory is like strongly linked to this thing, but he's not. And that's, and it's a hard thing because like people grieve in such totally different ways, and it's a super personal but also super public thing at the same time, because like everyone wants to be so supportive and helpful, and everyone has their own ideas for what that looks like. And so, like, the culture of grief has become this new thing that I'm super fascinated by because I'm so very in it right now.
So your family, now your immediate family, like mom and dad, are they religious?
They are, we were born, we were raised very holiday Christian. It was a lot of Easter and Christmas Eves at church. And then I actually a lot of my friends in middle school were super active in the church, and I started going to Bible school or Wednesday nights or whatever. I don't even remember what it's called anymore.
Yeah, it's Bible study.
If you're Catholic, it's catechism. You pull out a passage and you talk about that shit.
Yeah.
You get down and dirty with the weirdness in the Bible, and somehow you walk away still believing in it. I don't understand.
Well, I have a theory on it. Because we also went to different camps. I went to Camp Shamana, primarily was the Christian camp I went to, which is based out of evangelical churches. And
it's a great name. It sounds like a doo-wop camp.
Yeah, Shamana.
Yeah. It's up near Brainerd. And it was
like
so
all
much
summer
fun.
Camps
yeah,
in
like everything. And it was so much fun. And I think that is, like, it's almost this like horrible form of gaslighting, because it makes it super duper fun, but then we're also going to tell you that if you don't convince all of your friends and family to believe in God, then that's really bad, and they're all going to go to hell and burn.
It's a self-propagating fun, because like, isn't this fun? Aren't you having fun? Don't you want all your friends and family to have fun? P.S. if they don't have fun with us, they die. Like,
and it's this really hard thing to wrap myself around, and it's been a years-long journey.
Would you like a sandwich? P.S. if you say no, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a sandwich, right?
Yeah. But it's been this years-long journey of like, I'm a really super empathetic person, so I'm really good at being like, I'm not going to tell you I think you're wrong, even though I think you're wrong. Like, it's hard for me to say that. Like, I don't believe this thing, but I'm not going to tell you you can't believe it, because I, like, we're all on our own personal journey, and I just really, you know, hope that people are kind to each other instead of shitheads to each other, which often comes tied with religion. I've found.
But so your parents, are they still just holiday Christians, or would you say
no,
they
no, so I got totally sidetracked.
No, that's fine.
So
that's what I'm
I got
here
super
for.
Involved in the church, and then they got super involved in the church, and then I went to college and, like, started thinking outside of my own box and outside of my norm, and did a lot of experimenting with all sorts of thinking and substances.
like you do.
Like, somewhere probably in early high school, I read I can't think of it. Darkest Materials trilogy by
Philip Dark Materials.
Yeah. His Dark Materials.
It's a super atheist book.
Yeah,
it's
and really it was good. A really wonderful, beautiful, like, here's a different way. It's just like this little, like, separation program of, like, here is this fun way to think about what happens when we die. Because that was the big thing, too, is, like, I feel like my entire life has been a, like, mid-grade existential crisis of, holy fuck, we all die!
Yeah, yeah.
And like, dealing with that and wanting to, you know, like, if we all die and there's nothing I can do about that, then, like, what's the point? And it's very... That's a whole other conversation.
Has that been? I mean, has that been harder for you as you've been grieving your brother?
Or, yes.
And like, what the whole concept of what's the point? Or is do you feel like your other family with? I mean, the family members who are religious, are they finding more comfort than you feel you are? Or
I think actually not. It just kind of looks different. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it is really, really hard. You know, so we had a funeral, and it was really lovely. There were parts that I totally checked out of. People tell me it was lovely. I remember feeling, like, really overwhelmed by, like, holy crap, all of these people showed up, and this is so lovely. And and then I got emotional.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know.
I cried through an entire podcast talking about my dog, so it's fine.
I cried with so many people, total strangers.
Yeah.
Cried through an entire Fringe show last week. That was real good.
Yeah.
On stage. It was, you know, what it was. But, like, the really cool thing about this funeral, it was in a religious setting. Thank you. Kleenex. It was in a religious setting. It was less pomp and circumstance than you would imagine from, like, a Christian funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad and Spencer had a lot of talks recently about what Spencer believed and things like that.
That's
so,
really great.
Like, the cool thing about it is that it was really kind of a Spencer-driven funeral. So even though it was religious and I, like, didn't have buy-in to that part of the message, this really cool thing happened where the guy that was running the sober house where Spencer had been living stood up and said whatever he said and then asked all of the people that came from the sober house or any other addicts to stand up so we could recognize them and just be there with them.
Yeah, and just, like,
really
show
cool.
them that, like, these are people who love you and this doesn't have to happen because you have love. Like, there's strangers who love you. And
just, like, we're all here and it was so nice.
That is super nice.
So it's been... It's been, like, and then, like, going back to your question, other things, like, so I'm having this existential crisis, and without speaking for other people in my family, one of my family members has been feeling, like, the question of, like, why haven't I gotten visited? Because when I was in... And again, this comes down to the, like, here's a thing that makes me think of versus here's a thing that's religious. Like, it's a visitation or whatever.
Yeah.
When we were in Costa Rica on my birthday, this little tiny gecko came into our room. It was the first one we saw. My brother had a little gecko tattoo that he gave himself when he was, like, 11 with a pen and
ink. Oh, my God!
And it was just this, like, really nice, like, hey, this happened on my birthday. Mm. It was this thing. It was the exact... But it's not, like, it's not him. It's just this really beautiful
It's a really great coincidence that just makes you feel...
It's a great coincidence, but there are also a lot of fucking geckos in Costa Rica.
Also,
it makes you feel good. It's a coincidence that makes you feel good.
Well, you can... be reminded of him in positive ways and see him in the world without it being supernatural.
Exactly. And so this particular family member, I think, is suffering from feeling like they haven't had that, and so they're not getting their sign from God.
So they feel that was a supernatural thing for you, and they don't have that yet.
And it's like, and it's hard because, like, we haven't actually been able to also talk about certain things just because we come from totally different ways. And my parents are amazing. Like, however many years ago when I stopped going to Christmas Eve service and Easter service, you know, they always invite me, but it's always like they know.
That's good.
And for the most part, my family is, like, in the know that my generation isn't really into the religion. Yeah. I would probably, I don't know for sure, actually, in terms of my cousins, but, like, we do big holidays, and, like, we still always pray together before a meal, but it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super awkward.
Just sit there with your eyes open, like,
All right, we're doing this thing. Here
Nick's,
we go.
Nick's family stuff. It's always like his stepdad and me and Nick and his brother are all just kind of making eye contact across the table. Like, everyone else has their heads bowed, and it's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
So here's, by the way, we got to get back to your story, but this is an interesting point to bring up something that I'm actually going through that is the same kind of thing. My wife Pat's grandmother died about a week ago. Now, she was 102. She had dementia. She had not mentally been there for maybe as much as 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And before she was checked out, she was an awful, bigoted human being. Cruel.
Yeah. Too evil to die.
Would not die. Right. She evil doesn't die. And she finally passed away. Now, Pat's mother has asked me to sing at her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Because she likes my voice, and that's very nice, and I appreciate that. And she asked me to sing at the funeral, and I said, and it's going to be in Spring Grove, Minnesota, so small town Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be in a church, and it's going to be super gaudy.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know that Nancy, my mother-in-law, is all that gaudy. I think she's a lapsed Christian. I think it's kind of, she doesn't care.
Generally, you're either a lapsed Christian or a lapsed Jew in this country. Yeah. I mean, really.
So anyway, I'm like, sure, I will do it, but I won't sing a religious song. And I said, it's not because I don't respect the faith of anybody that's in there.
I don't.
It's disingenuous.
It has nothing to do with that. It's that I'm lying. I'm literally lying if I go out there and sing a God song at somebody's funeral when I don't believe that.
Yeah.
So it's been this tricky thing of trying to figure out how to sing something at a funeral with a bunch of people who believe,
but
without singing a song about belief.
Yeah. If I walked up to the dregs at a show at Max Pub with $5 and said, "Hey Tim, sing me a religious song," you would for money.
Sure, I'd sing it for money, but at the same time, there's no suggestion in that exchange that I'm singing a religious song because I'm religious.
Right.
I'm singing a religious song because you've asked me to sing it. However, when I'm at a funeral, and I stand up in a church and I sing a gaudy song, I am, in my mind, admitting that I am one of them. And that to me feels disingenuous. And
sure.
Anyway,
did you have just to piggyback off that? Did you have moments where you felt like there was, like, in order to honor your brother, you know, that you had to kind of, I don't know, almost like do lip service in a religious way during services or during family times or anything?
There hasn't really been an awful lot, like, when you do the, I think it's called the litany, mm-hmm. which is like the, here's a statement about the world.
Yeah.
We go with, or we remember him.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is, like, there's a giant book that you can pick from.
Okay.
And so the ones that my parents picked were things that were, like, super Spencer-y, like.
That's good.
Like, we see him in the mountains and the woods or
sure.
things like that. And so it was these, like, statements that were very true about him as a person, so it didn't feel disingenuous.
That's good.
But then there were parts of this funeral where it's like you're praying And I'm like, I don't know who, because I don't believe in a deity that I can't blame for shit going wrong. I'm just supposed to accept as God's will.
Yeah.
And that I have to give the credit to for when shit goes right.
Right, exactly.
And that doesn't drive.
What kind of an omnipotent me? God lets my brother die? So yeah. I'm not really down with that. Yeah. I completely understand that.
And it was actually, I think, Spencer's death that was made me go from the agnostic side of things to the it's mm-hmm. really just actually atheism.
Yeah.
I really actually just believe that we need to be nice to each other while we're here, and then we,
yeah,
don't be here.
The reason you mentioned wanting to come on because you were struggling with dealing with your religious family. You didn't know how to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Some of my family, and it's really more extended family than my parents, because my parents and I have come to an understanding about how we believe in the world, and we either just don't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
or I just smile and nod,
yeah.
which is fine. It's family. We'll get to it. Not right now. We can deal with it in future times. But so I've started this blog as I've been, writing a lot, because that's a way that I do things. And
what's your blog?
I don't remember.
That's fine. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's Needles in the Dark at Blogs. One of them.
We'll get it for sure. Yeah.
And it was weird because I actually, that was the title of a piece that I wrote. Well, there was a night that I was home when Spencer was also there. I was living with my parents during student teaching, and we were both there, and my parents were at the cabin or something closing it up, and he was and it was this really awful, terrifying experience of walking into the bathroom and finding a needle
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and then him high as shit trying to convince me that it was old and he was trying to get rid of it and blah blah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was this whole thing, and it was just and so it was the title of this piece, and then it was just that seems actually a really good thing, because then when I was hardcore grieving, which is really actually every other day, but I do a lot of knitting, and I would just sit in the dark and knit nothing.
Oh, sure.
This is gonna be the name of this blog.
I love
which is
that.
A story that didn't really apply, but so I've started writing that, and every once in a while aunts, and then when I say family, I'm including family, friends, will send me these comments that I've just decided to not post because I have it set it up so
it needs approval
yeah. and I'm like I don't need that. I just will see what it's about, and it's just this it's all of the stuff that I used to say when I was going to Christian camp, and I don't know how to start that conversation. There's a good chance that she will listen to this podcast and that will start the conversation for us. Because it is also this new thing that I'm wrapping my head around as a solid thing, and I am definitely a person who will just smile and nod my way through a family experience.
Because your only other option is to start an argument.
Right. And I don't really want to argue right now.
Because there's no way you can say it that won't. I mean, that's the frustrating thing.
Absolutely.
You can't just say, you know what, this isn't my faith tradition.
Right.
This isn't me, and can we...
Unless you have another one that you can say, because I'm this instead.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, I'm actually Jewish, suddenly there's okay. But if you say
don't have my thing, you have your thing.
Yeah.
I don't
actually believe any of that because I don't believe in any of it.
Yeah.
And so then it's all of a sudden it's like, well, hold on, let me fill that void.
The act of saying it can easily be perceived as an attack
mm-hmm.
on what they believe instead of simply validating that you have a right to believe something different and to express a desire to not be assailed with what they believe.
Have you heard the comparison to, oh no, I don't drink? It's when you offer someone an alcoholic beverage and they say, oh no, I don't drink. Instantly, there's this
why not?
Why don't you think you're better than me because you don't drink?
It's interesting you would express that to me because I don't drink. I've spent my entire life defending myself. I've spent my entire life defending myself that I don't drink.
Right, absolutely. We give you shit about it all the time.
Everybody gives me shit about it all the time, that I don't drink.
And so, from your perspective, Tim, is it similar?
It is. It is.
Is it really? Yeah. All right. Cool.
I mean, it doesn't really piss me off, but at the same time, it's very frustrating. It's like, why should I have to defend not drinking? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And that's what it all comes down to, is, like, it's really hard to, like, stand up and say a thing about, like, no, I don't, because I don't want to have to defend myself, because I am fucking grieving right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't, and I shouldn't really have to, kind of like,
no.
the yeah. way as a woman, I shouldn't have to be like, fuck, dude, that's misogynistic, and now I have to explain to you why and educate you on the history.
Yeah, now we have to have. Now I have to put myself, like, in a place where I feel bad because you said something misogynist, and now I have to feel worse because I got to say something to you. It's going to make you feel bad. Right. So rather, I could just be like, oh, haha, like, it doesn't bother me. And then
it's Christian privilege, and that's in the same way that it's male privilege to have your misogyny explained to you.
Yeah,
when it crops up, it's Christian privilege where I can't just say no thanks.
Yeah,
I have to say no thanks. Because this, and then I have to walk on eggshells, otherwise it's going to be an argument.
Right. Yeah.
Do you get the, you know, he's looking down on you, there's an angel on your shoulder, you know, he's with you always, kind of stuff. That always feels like, I mean, and there's no judgment in this statement. Your brother died from a heroin overdose. Yeah. And to me it's like, well, if you honestly believe this, isn't he in hell?
Yeah. Also, yeah. Or, and then it's like, well, then there's forgiveness and blah blah blah, and it's just, it's so cyclical. Or, like, if that's how he died, and he died of a heroin overdose, I don't really want a heroin overdosed person looking down on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I can choose, like, the Spencer from, like, when we were, like, 8 and 10, like, he was cool as shit then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We built forts. It was really awesome.
Like
if I get to choose that, then maybe I'll reconsider at all.
I think I might have sent this to you too. Like, there's a thing that kind of almost like a poem that someone said.
Yeah, the astrophysicist
thing, where it's just like, the world is different because he was here.
Yeah.
Every beam of, every particle of light that ever bounced off his face is changed. Yep. And, like, every atom and bit of energy that he had is still there. It's, you know, it's everywhere. And, like, to me, that is so much more comforting than the thought of, like a ghost
that,
like, is lurking and looking over me. But,
especially,
like,
especially because ghosts get a bad rap half the time.
Yeah, the idea that, like, actually it's way cooler than that, because now he's a million blades of grass and stars and a cow and who knows what else. Like,
which is why, like, His Darkest Materials was such a life change, because it's that concept explained through this beautiful literature.
It's just less orderly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like, it's so cool.
Yeah,
I like
it's
this
so
concept
good.
So much. And and there's a lot of like, because then I went through this thing, like, on paper, now I am an only child, which is like, that doesn't mean that I've never had a brother. It's just like, right now, I'm the one that's left. And
people
are like, well, he's... And I'm like, no, he's really not. Like, 60 years from now, or... I can't do math. Like, whenever my parents die, you know, and this has been... It's an old wound. Like, it will be me.
Mm-hmm. People used to say, when my grandfather died, people would always say, like, well, Poppy wouldn't want you to do that. It's like, Poppy doesn't want anything anymore.
Yeah.
So you don't get to decide what he would or wouldn't want, because I don't get to tell him what's going on and hear his opinion. So please don't tell me what the Poppy before he died, who may or may not have judged this action 10 years later. Like, I don't care. That's not important to me. Sorry.
When my father died, after his funeral, I was crying into my best friend's shoulder because it was my fucking dad and I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, and I know he was trying to, you know, it's like, I couldn't be pissed at him, but at the same time, you know, he was trying to comfort me. He was like, don't cry. Your father wouldn't want you to cry. And I'm like, yeah, I think he would. But honestly, what did it matter? What did it matter what my dad would want me to do or not? It's like, that's what I needed at that moment.
Oh, yeah. It's super frustrating.
It's just...
So then, like, with that, too, like, there came this, like, moment of, like, all right, I have fulfilled all of the things that I said I would do that we had talked about, because, you know, we had talked about this trip we had planned to go to Costa Rica, and he's like, oh, you should send me a picture of you holding a monkey, and I never got to hold a monkey, but I held monkey hands, and it was so great. And, like, I told him about the zip lining we were going to do, and he's like, oh, my God, that sounds awesome. And so, like, there got to be that thing, and really, there's, like, one memory left, and I told him whenever he was 1 year sober, I'd take him skydiving, so I'm gonna go skydiving.
That's awesome.
Possibly on the day he died.
I think that's awesome, Shay, because you're gonna feel so many emotions and you're gonna be up so high, and it's just gonna be like... cathartic. Like, it just like, feels cathartic.
Yeah.
Like, just jumping and letting it go.
I think I'm sure lots of people have cried on zip lines because I, like, sobbed the whole way down. And they were like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just feeling really close to this memory right now.
That's great.
And, yeah. So.
If you had any advice for someone, maybe someone out there right now who is not religious and has religious family, and I mean, obviously this can happen, not to get all morbid, but this can happen at any time where you lose someone.
Yeah.
Like, would you recommend that they tell their family like before? Like, what is it easier to tell them now?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about, and it's just been discussions that we've had, is like this whole, like, what do you want at your funeral kind of thing? Like, Jeff and I have had discussions. I'm like, so not to be super sad, but since I've just been constantly sad, like, here's what I would like. And this is another thing. You said you were talking about your mother-in-law or your grandma-in-law's
grandma-in-law,
funeral.
Yeah.
Like, the whole concept of, like, how do you have a funeral not religiously isn't something that we do often because it is, like, a culture of religions. Mm-hmm. And so, like, thinking through that and, like, don't waste any coffins on me. Don't waste, like, you can do funerals so quickly and so cheaply compared to what, like, they used to say your wedding and your funeral are the two most expensive things, with the funeral costs often being more than the wedding
costs. Way more, because you can control your wedding costs. Yeah, I mean, you can't control the funeral stuff.
Just cremation, folks.
Yeah.
Cremation.
Yeah.
Well, and I've had that conversation, like, with each other.
Yeah.
Cremation. Yeah. All the way.
Unless I can be in the plasticized bodies alive exhibit.
Body Works.
Yeah. If I can be in that, well,
that'd be cool.
Then that'd be great.
You know, here's the thing.
Example of a very funny girl's uterus.
Every fucking organ from my body.
Yeah,
that
too. Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, let scientists do whatever the fuck they want with my body, and then burn me.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Have you ever read Stiff by Mary Roach?
No.
It is a book that looks at what we did with dead bodies for science through the history of
whatever.
And it's so fascinating because you can donate your body to lie in a field so they can study how decomposition works in
cool.
Oh, it's so cool. And Anthropology of Death was a really cool class.
If Molly can get some money for my dead body, I'm cool with that. Like, if there's any way I can, like, you know, like, I don't know, if, like, they charge by the pound or what, but...
Call me necrophiliacs.
I'm not there, like, whatever, you know, like...
I'll leave the room.
Just, like, ashes with whatever's left, but, you know...
Yeah.
If I can earn some bucks.
Yeah. And, like... Like, do what you need to do to grieve, but don't do anything religious in my name. Like, tell some really good stories about me. Maybe do an Armando with my life.
Oh,
story.
Amazing.
Sing some of my favorite songs. And if you are so inclined, and if you're not, you don't have to. Because now, Tim Wick, you're required to be at my funeral.
Oh, fuck.
but you don't have to drink at it.
You don't have to die on my account.
But you do it to sing a religious song and mean it. That's what Shay wants when she dies.
Fuck off.
But then you have to have a shot of whiskey after.
Yes. Preferably, like, the darkest, smokiest scotch you can find.
Oh. Tim Kryptonite.
I think that's all really good advice. Life's super short, and I appreciate that you have taken this just overwhelming tragedy and found ways to turn it introspective and figure out what that means for you going forward. And not to like make almost a joke, but like, seriously, I think that is what your brother would have wanted. I mean, like, really, like, if I know if I die, what I would want from that is that maybe someone can take that and turn it into an experience where they learn more about them.
Yeah.
You know, and 'cause I'm gone. Figure out what that means about you, you know.
But all
and
of the little Molly particles that have ever been reflected by the sun.
When you hear a horrible noise, those are my particles.
Oh, wait. Never see a goat. I can't.
Exactly.
There will be a Molly particle in a goat. I know that.
It might already be something.
It will seek out a goat. The one resource for you and for anybody listening, Grief Beyond Belief
has been awesome.
Yeah. So is a really good resource.
It's a Facebook group, right?
It's a Facebook group. I think there's some other resources that they have as well.
And they have a wonderful list within that. And the cool thing about Grief Beyond Belief is, like, so you can request to join it, and then one of the moderators will, like, have a short conversation with you, because they really want it to be a safe place, because it's not a safe thing to be grieving, and because you can't just like yell at someone who is also sad about the thing you're sad about and be like, fuck off, I don't want to listen to Heaven's speech right now.
Yeah,
when it's what you want to say, but you don't because it's just too exhausting.
That's not the conversation you want to have right now.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm dealing with my own shit.
Yeah.
And this is your shit.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready, Shay, for five questions?
No, I'm not, but I'll pretend questions. I am.
All right. We got this. All right.
Five unready questions.
Nick, hit question number one.
Question number one is, what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Oh, man. I will stop and watch Lord of the Rings anytime. Yeah. Anytime.
The whole trilogy or one in particular? Do you like the first one
the
best?
The whole trilogy. Not The Hobbit.
We're That's not
The Lord of the Rings.
But I just, like, it's got everything I need and, like, the nerd thing on top of it.
Extended edition or theatrical?
Doesn't really matter, because if I'm stopping and watching it, like, I've already seen it as many times as I have, and I usually will, like, be like, oh, I have, like, 14 projects to finish. I can just sit down and
do that. I literally watch every January now, I watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I switch back and forth. Like, one year I'll watch theatrical, and the next year I'll watch extended, and then
I will amend my No Hobbit. If it's the animated Hobbit from my youth, that was a movie that we watched all of the time.
That was great.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I had a really... I don't, like, hold on to geeky things, or do I really collect many things except yarn.
Ooh,
I have so much yarn.
That's so geeky.
And I love to knit geeky shit with it. Like, Jeff and Bree's improv duo is Squash Banana, and so last year for Improvathon... one of their prize levels was bananas. So I knit 10, 11, I don't know. I knit way too many
it's
little bananas.
Super cute.
Yeah. And, like, I knit Jeff for Christmas last year a hat that looks like Willie's scarf, like, bandana, the big puppet from the Renaissance Festival. Willie's, like, bandana and hair coming out of it. I like to knit geeky things.
Do you have hand-dyed yarns and fancy yarns?
I dye my own yarns.
Oh, what? Yeah, that's so geeky.
And we found it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm a yarn nerd.
All right, question number three.
Oh, go. Yeah,
it's me. Yeah. What supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Panzerbjorn.
What?
Oh,
yeah. Panzerbjorn.
Yeah, from
that's
Dark Materials.
Oh, yeah.
From the Golden Compass.
They're sentient, like, polar bears.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the coolest thing is, like, you could talk logic to them, and they'll be like, that's right, we were doing stupid shit and worshiping
Yorick Bjernison is such a great one.
They're kind of, like, Klingonish. Like, they're all about, like, warrior's honor, and, like, their armor is their soul, and it's personalized to them. And
yeah, and, like... Very honor-bound, but also, like, logical, and they'll have a discussion. Like, it's not just, I'm gonna, like...
They can be convinced by logic. Yeah, they're smart, and they use science-y stuff, too. Like, it's, that's awesome.
Yeah. They're great.
That's a good answer.
That's a new answer.
I love the Panzerbjorn. They're great.
They're so good.
Question number four is, say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Oh, man, I am torn between racism and feminism, and I'm leaning towards racism as being a problem we still face because there's been more fake science put into it, whereas we've relied a lot on religious texts for a lot of where our feminism has come from.
Hmm.
That's my super uneducated opinion about the two things.
No, you think...
like racism and misogyny?
We'd catch up on feminism if religion were gone.
Right.
But we wouldn't as reliably catch up on racism if religion
I can see
gone.
That. I can totally see that, because it's the other is more other when it's skin
because
color.
While religion has been used to justify racism, religion was used almost to create sexism.
Misogyny,
I mean, if you look at
religion was used to establish men as the dominant gender
when they hadn't been before.
Yeah.
And if you look at, like, the institutionalization of racism in our country specifically, like, when people started being like, the slavery is not such a good idea. It was like, well, look at the science. Their heads are shaped differently.
They have different muscle types.
This bullshit with these big they statements.
Okay,
So phrenology, I think that's where it would nonsense. Still...
Yeah. All right.
Question number 5. What's your favorite quote?
Oh, man. I think it... And I don't remember who said it, but those who were dancing were thought to be quite insane by those who could not hear the music.
I like that one. Ooh. That's a good one.
I heard it way back in...
I like that a lot.
I'm going to attribute it to Mark Twain, because I believe that any quote that you can't attribute should be attributed to Mark Twain.
If not him, then what, Abraham Lincoln?
I feel like I've actually seen it attributed to like 4 different women. One of them being Eleanor...
Roosevelt.
One of them being a dancer...
I gotta write this quote down.
Those who were dancing were thought to be quite insane. I feel like somebody attributed it to a philosopher, but I don't remember which one. Were thought to be quite insane by those who could not hear the music. But I just like the whole idea of like something's making that person over there really happy, and if I'm stuck in my little bubble and can't just accept someone else's happiness, then I think they're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they're probably just like.
They're just living in a different... They're hearing something else. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool.
I like that a lot. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your personal stories and just opening your heart for everything to everyone to see here. I hope this is going to help people. If you're going through this, even if you're not, and it's the thing about grief is if you've never grieved, you will. It is not
It is part of the human experience.
It is, and it is not something you can plan for or try to logic your way out of. It is an emotional beast that just takes you over. And I really appreciate that you wanted to, that you volunteered really to come and talk for people to hear. So
absolutely.
Thank you, Shay.
Seriously, Grief Beyond Belief, really good resource for atheists/agnostics dealing with grief.
Yeah. So we have been Geeks Without God. Please go to our Patreon page and consider supporting us. Even if you just give $1 a month, you get to have early access to episodes like this one, which we recorded.
Technically, it's $2 a month.
Is it now? All right. Well, we recorded this weeks ahead of time. That's the thing, is we record them so far ahead of time sometimes, and you'll get to hear them right away. There's other rewards at different levels, and also you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Stitcher and iTunes, rate us, all that good stuff. You know what to do. Thank you, and thanks to Shay, and we have been Geeks Without God. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 I want my dead body turned into poison and fed to my enemies.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
More Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I don't know my Bible verses.